It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Brady Fields, waist high, stands in the box. Brady up under center with a play. Brady stands and lobs the throw to Gronkowski. Brady throwing down the middle. Gronk makes the catch.
Brady takes the snap. Shotgun snap to Brady.
Fires down the middle, throw to Gronkowski.
Gives to Michelle. Runs it left. A dog to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
This is the home of the winningest quarterback in Super Bowl history.
Tom Brady, six-time champion.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marchand, high slot to Bergeron. Our point now, Marchand, high slot. Feeds it down low. Let's go! Back-to-back days. Overtime wins. Today was Brad Marchand who fed it down low.
.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And there was pucks and paddles, $100-some-odd thousand raised for the Tufts Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center.
$119,000.
Most ever. Most ever. And the Boston Bruins Foundation. But all the players there are very nice. And David Pastrnak was there, Rich, and we were thinking about something to do with the young man.
Sure. I mean, you know, in years past, we've done some bits with athletes. I think the very first one that we did was when Teddy Bruschi was in town, and or he was coming in studio to record some commercials. And Fred and I had been up for a while, and we were kind of loopy, and we were just sitting there saying, "All right, what are we gonna do with Teddy Bruschi?" I said, "What if we asked him? What if we had him do like Rush songs, and we called it Getty Bruschi?" And Fred and I were just like, "He's never going to do it."
Right.
And but we know that if we ask him and he says no, at least we have a story because he's a fairly intimidating human being. And then sure enough, he said yes, which gave birth to Getty Bruschi, one of my all-time favorite segments.
Yeah, I mean that was that still remains the best.
It might be the best. And then you had, of course, Brad Marchand, who was doing hits of the '80s as Rad Marchand. Another great one. Did we do one with Milan Lucic?
I don't think so.
We did. It was all it was all Spanish songs. He was the Luchador.
Oh, the Luchador. Okay. Yeah. I know we did the Bacchus Boys.
Bacchus Street Boys.
David Bacchus, that's right. So, you know, this time comes around again, and we said, you know what, who better than to do something with us than to ask the biggest goal scorer on the team, a superstar, the only all-star on the Bruins. So we came up with this.
Hi, this is David Pastrnak from the Boston Bruins. David Pastrnak from the Boston Bruins.
Center deflected, they score! Pastrnak champs into the open far side.
But today, I'm David Pastafarian. David Pastafarian. Hey, look, a banana boat.
Of course, every Rastafarian.
Very big on the banana boat.
Okay. All right. So it's David Pastafarian.
Yes, he's. I would take it, Rich, he's doing songs, maybe not the pure reggae songs.
Sure.
Not the purest, but something maybe with a patois involved or something of that.
Well, we thought it'd be perfect because his accent is very similar to that of a Jamaican.
Absolutely. You could think he's right from the East Indian Islands.
So here's how it's going to work. John, you're going to be our player this today, okay?
Okay. I was there when you put this together, but all right.
Okay. All right. So you want someone to call in? Should we take a caller?
I think we should take a caller because I was there for the genesis of this.
Okay. Then we should take a caller.
All right. 617-779-0985. Again, you'll have to be very familiar with for the most part, very bad reggae-esque songs.
Sure. They don't have to be like, you know, ones that are, you know, known as, you know, some of the all-time greats.
Yeah, these are going to be more familiar than anything else.
Yeah, I would think so. So I will play you a clip of David Pastafarian doing the lyrics of some of these songs, and you just need to identify what the artist is of the song.
Sure.
You know, and it's really that simple. So we'll play that segment, and once again, it is...
David Pastafarian.
Yes, it's David Pastafarian. So, all right, let's go ahead and take this call here.
A bird, by the way, it rang a few times before he...
why wreck a good streak?
Bird's got stuff to do.
There we go.
Okay, yeah, let's go to...
In Monty?
Yes, sir.
All right, so here's how we're going to play. Is that Rich will play the David Pastrnak dry audio, and then you will have to tell us the name of the song. There is no prize. The only prize will be feeling good about yourself.
Just glory.
Perfect.
All right, Monty, here we go. Here is track number one.
But you called me on the counter. Wasn't me. Saw me banging on the sofa. Wasn't me. Even had her in the shower. Wasn't me. She even caught me on camera. Wasn't me.
Okay, who is that artist?
It's Shaggy, isn't it?
Let's take a listen.
But you called me on the counter. Wasn't me. Saw me banging on the sofa. Wasn't me. Even had her in the shower. Wasn't me. She even caught me on camera. Wasn't me. Honey came in the shower. Caught me. Creeping with the girl next door. Picture this. We were both butt naked. Banging on the bathroom floor. I had to try to keep her from what she was about to see. Why should she believe when I told her it wasn't me? Legalize it.
So that is correct.
The best is when you can hear where Rich really had to edit it.
When the voice gets all... Rich got to stretch out those notes.
All right, well, very good, Monty. You got the first one.
All right, excellent. Okay, track number two. Can you name this artist?
Informer, you know, say, Daddy, me snow me, I will go blame. A lick it, boom, boom, down.
All right, do you know who that is?
That's Snow.
That is Snow.
Oh, my goodness, let's take a listen.
Informer, you know, say, Daddy, snow me, I will blame. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Detective said, Daddy, me snow me, someone down the lane. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Informer, you know, say, Daddy, know me, I will blame. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Detective said, Daddy, me know me, someone down the lane. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Cool Runnings.
I mean, Banana Boats and Cool Runnings. Just everything about Rastafarianism.
Yeah.
By the way, Snow, surprisingly,
boom, boom, down.
Gets respect. Like,
really?
Right, yes, he's not...
Who?
No, he's not like a Vanilla Ice guy. Apparently, he's he's a little legit.
Okay.
I could just see Zolak loves that song. He's on his way in saying, Pastafarian, all right.
Well, he's probably listening to REO Speedway.
David Pastafarian.
That's who it is, yes.
All right, Monty.
Boom, boom, down.
It's been amazing so far. What a ride.
All right. Can you name the following artists from David Pastrnak? Here we go.
Pastaducci on the left-hand side. Pastaducci on the left-hand side.
Okay.
It's tough. It's from the 80s.
It's past the Duchy on the left-hand side. I can't remember the artist.
Okay,
name.
I'll give you the first word. It's two words. Musical.
I don't know, man. I can't think
They're
of it.
They're kids. Musical.
Musical children.
Okay, that's no, close
musical,
enough.
It's musical, musical youth. All right, here we go.
This generation rules the nation with the version. Boom boom bididili dididili boom 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 bididili bididili boom boom boom. Pass the Ducci on the left hand side. 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 I was negative 13 when this song came out.
That's true.
That is true.
He was about negative 13, yes. Yeah.
By the way, Dutchie or Ducci, by the way, not marijuana.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
Lick it, boom, boom, down.
All right, Monty, that's all right. That's a tough band to name. Now, Monty, let's get the artist for this one.
Whoa, amber is the color of your energy. Whoa.
This is
amber is the color of your energy.
You're just playing into these Hicks hands. There's no band that would be more happy to have be associated with this. This makes Shaggy look like Bob Marley. All right. Unfortunately, Monty, what is the name of that band?
These are your favorite fellas, those white boys named 311.
From Nebraska, who put on Patois.
That's right.
Oh, it's right.
Whoa, ember is the color of your energy. Whoa, ember is the color of your energy. 311 is not good band.
Just the balls on that guy being from Nebraska and putting on that fake patois. Like, I don't know how he looks people in the eye.
I have to hear the end of that one more time.
Whoa, ember is the color of your energy. Whoa, ember is the color of your energy. 311 is not good band.
Not.
They are not good band.
Right, is there one more, Rich?
No, we have one more. All right. Can you name this artist, Monty, on the phone from David Pasternak, a.k.a. David Pastafarian?
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it in note for note. Don't worry. Be happy.
All right. The obviously Rastafarian who wrote this is... It's Bobby McFerrin. Let's not torture people.
Take it away.
Obviously, the renowned Rastafarian.
Take it away.
Bobby McFerrin.
David Pastafarian.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it in note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. That's a tough singing, right? Every life we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. I got it all. And I didn't even meant to, but I read it, and all of a sudden I said, don't worry, be happy.
All right.
Got him to sing it.
Something at the end there. He should have had to do all the voices, too. All right, Monty, congratulations.
Yes, sir. Congratulations,
sir. You did quite well.
I won my pride for the day.
You That's won your right. pride. Yes, you did. Congratulations.
This is David Pastor. See
you, fellas.
See you later.
David Pastor from Boston Bruins.
Center deflected. They score! Pastor champs into the open far side.
But today, I'm David Pastafarian. David Pastafarian. Hey, look, a banana boat.
I mean, I was there when we were doing it, and there was a bunch of stuff we couldn't put in there, but I just look a banana boat. Obviously, all of us ventured very far into the Caribbean Isles.
Hashtag 311 is not good band is trending right now.
It should be. I don't know how those guys look at themselves in the mirror. Blonde-haired kid from Nebraska doing a Jamaican accent.
Informer, you know, say Daddy, know me, I will blame. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Detective said, Daddy, me, know me, someone down the lane. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Informer, you know, say Daddy, know me, I will blame. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Detective said, Daddy, me, know me, someone down the lane. A lick it, boom, boom, down. Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings.
Be Real just sent me an email that said, you guys are dead to me.
That's right. He sees 311 every time they're in town.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm researching that Snow is actually respected. I'm almost positive he is.
What was his album called? 12 Inches of Snow?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the label gets a hold of it and it's out of your hands. All right. We will be back in just a moment.
Moves up the middle, throws across the middle, touchdown Edelman!
Julian Edelman plays on one station in Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. By the way, avclub.com does a synopsis of Saturday Night Live where they have like all the clips and all the sketches. Haisley?
Is it Halsey?
Halsey. What does Halsey sing?
I don't know. I've heard her song, and I just don't know.
Did
what
she
the
do
name
the
is.
One with that guy where they were like supposed to be like in love, like that dopey rapper guy?
I think she did that song with the Chainsmokers. We ain't never getting right. over.
Well, she's a good-looking lady and everything, but oh my god, it was cringe-inducing. I had to stop watching some of the sketches because she can't act, and she was trying. So like it was a very difficult. Because I was watching the clips. And
so
I'm
she
like,
was the host and the musical act.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Because like Joe Montana was a terrible actor, yeah. but it was like Joe Montana, and like you know he went in there and he's like I can't act.
Sure.
they like, played like, it up too.
Like when yeah, like when Tom Brady was on, like yeah. you know he can't act, but he's Tom Brady.
Right.
Like you kind of got it. Mm-hmm. But this was a girl who's obviously I felt really bad for her. She's obviously. Trying to expand her career into being like an actress.
Yeah.
And she was really bad. Like feeling sorry for her bad. Not funny bad.
I think the only person that recently I've felt kind of bad for, and this is when I say recently, this might have been like 6 years ago, was when you had Swimmer McGee on there. Michael Phelps. When Michael Phelps showed up, it was so bad that I just felt uncomfortable for the guy. Because there were certain skits that were funny, they're written well, but he kept botching the lines, so it didn't work. And like he was just mumbling over like easy things that were on the cue card, and he just looked completely out of place. And I felt so bad for the guy.
But that's, again, a guy whose job is swimming. This is someone who wants to be an actress.
Sure.
And the show was horrible. And you could tell, and the sketches were terrible, but I'd almost give them a pass mm-hmm. because they realized they had to like white out like as much of her as possible.
Sure.
Like, all right, she's going to be here, so let's just throw the crap out right now, get it over with. All right, so another thing that was on this weekend, which is a tremendous segue by me, is that they're a new football league.
The Alliance of American Football, yep. which did well for its first game. It got 2.9 million viewers. It outdrew the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Houston Rockets.
And by the way, college basketball, higher ratings than the NBA.
Yeah,
as well.
That matchup. I don't know what the matchup was, but during that
it was probably Duke
frame,
Virginia. That would make sense.
Yeah. It probably was. But it did well. Now, whether this was just the curiosity factor where people wanted to see what the hell this whole thing is about.
I don't know how people knew it was on.
Well, you see, to me, I just saw people tweeting about it. So I turned it on. Like I didn't.
What was it on?
CBS.
Yeah, it was on a major network. Was it CBS?
That's how I knew it was on. Okay. You flip it around, and there it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
because
CBS.
I had no idea that it was on. I don't feel like I'm out of the pop culture loop because I don't know where you would have found out about it.
Well, all I know is that the listeners. The way I found out about it is our listeners started tweeting me and saying, "Dude, guess who's on CBS right now?" And Jeff Fisher. Just standing on the sidelines, checking things out. I guess they put him in the booth.
Hey, man, I thought Foghat was playing here tonight.
I don't know what. Like, I don't think he has anything to do with the AAF. I just think he was checking it out. Now, I might be completely wrong about
check
this.
While we do this.
But, I mean, if the dude's looking for a coaching gig, you know, maybe the Birmingham Bucktooth, whatever the name of the teams
awesome
are.
Awesome Ass and Fun Bags is what I thought they were.
Is that what they are?
That was what they were advertising.
The Birmingham Awesome Ass?
No, AAF, Awesome Ass and Fun Bags.
Okay, that's basically what you should have put
Or just Ass and Fun Bags.
So I don't know how this could succeed.
Wait, I have his title.
Okay.
Jeff Fisher has a title. He's gone corporate. Jeff Fisher is
Weedius Maximus?
No.
Female body inspector?
Jeff Fisher.
Mustache ride producer?
AAF head of football strategy.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Like for the league?
I guess. That's what it says here.
My strategy is my friend Blade getting some more of that meth and bringing it right down here.
Well, good for him. So what you got to watch is you got to watch Christian Hackenberg. Crap all over himself.
My strategy is just to rev this Trans Am engine a couple times and let these Phillies feel a little vibration.
And then you had what? Trent Richardson was up there too.
Trent Richardson was there. He was awful. He played for Birmingham. They figured you stick him in Alabama, where he went to college. That'll be more people to show up. But Trent Richardson was just as bad against the bad people as he was against the NFL.
So after the curiosity wears out, you're going to be watching a bunch of players that you're kind of like, oh, I kind of remember this guy. And there's going to be a bunch of teams that you have no loyalty to because it's in cities that you don't live in and you just don't care about. So how well could this possibly do?
Got to get the bankroll boys on.
Maybe, but I was thinking to Fred, I was talking to him, I was like, is there a player, like an ex-player, that you would actually tune in to watch? And I thought of one. If they brought Vince Young in, like just to see whether he's so out of shape and so out of it that he could even function.
Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell.
Is he on one of the teams?
Yep.
Really?
I didn't know that.
I think Breer said that. Chris, go ahead. Go get Breer on Twitter.
Hey, what's up?
Hangover Sunday football yesterday, but, you know, I work for the AFL, and the Arizona Hotspots, I'll tell you, they have 81% of their players all played in the NFL. And throughout the league, I think the number is about 65% of all players have already played in the NFL. So, you know, this is the first time that, besides the crazy XFL, there's no kickoffs. There's no field goals. It's going to be showing some talent, and I guarantee some of these guys are all going to get picked up in the NFL, and it's going to be something great to watch instead of stupid basketball that nobody cares about anyway.
Well, but as you said, I mean, some of these people played in the NFL, but I don't care about a lot of those people.
Yeah, no.
Like those, the biggest name was Christian Hackenberg.
Good enough.
I don't care about those players.
That's the thing.
I understand that there is no football right now, but part of me wants to miss it a little bit. You know, I mean, having this come in at like a D-level thing, it was neat to kind of check it out and see, all right, well, what's different? But I don't know now if you've got the AAF, how the XFL is going to survive.
Well, they should be able to let you put whatever you want in the back of your jersey and as of your favorite thing. And then Rex Ryan coaches and he just says feet.
I think you say fudge.
No, just
feet and fudge.
Just feet.
Fudge on feet.
Tony Mass.
What if Rex Ryan had his own football league and everyone had to be barefoot?
That would be nice.
What would DA think about that?
Mm-hmm. By the way, I was sent a message that DA tweeted about the AAF, and his first thing was about the shoes, and I'm not making that up.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, now I got to find out.
He's like,
So everyone's favorite thing is on the back of their shirts? Now, do you like the...
No, you should just be able to have that.
Okay.
The XFL used to have that, obviously.
Like, yeah, like, hate me or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, of course. I would think, you know what, Manziel might be interesting. He plays in the
Canadian Football League.
I know he does, but I mean, wouldn't he... I don't even know what the AAF, like how much they pay. Probably nothing.
They would pay nothing. They just want people that maybe someone has heard of come and play for them.
Phillips. Get him back.
This AAF has made my immediate loyalty. The jersey are made by Starter. If the cleats are made by Pony or British Knights, I'll buy season tickets tomorrow. There you go.
Yep.
He is referencing the shoes. Hey. Can't take it away.
I remember ponies. A young DA stealing them from the closet.
Somebody said Tim Tebow. Tim
Tebow's going to be playing the major leagues this year.
Mets. Is he? Because I heard that.
Yeah, the Mets are terrible, and they're going to try to put him in there to sell some tickets. Yeah, sell some tickets.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, but he's got his own thing going on. There's no one that they could put in that would get me to watch.
It just seems depressing, you know. Too, it's like a lot of these guys who couldn't make the cut, and like Hackenberg. Like, I mean, you watch
it would
that,
be
like,
Manziel if people would watch if Manziel somehow made his way there. And by the way, Manziel was horrible for the CFL last year.
But there's other things to watch besides football.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I mean,
there's like movies and a thousand TV shows.
And I agree with Rich. To really like football, you got to miss it a little bit. You can't have it 10, 11 months a year.
I mean, yeah, there's plenty of entertainment. I mean, there's an infinite amount of entertainment. There's no way you could consume it all. I don't know why you need to watch something like this.
And by the way, this has been tried over and over and over again. Let's fill the void for football fans.
It's been successful once.
What? Which one?
The AFL.
Back in the 60s.
Oh,
there
okay.
There were two leagues in the 60s.
Okay, but think about it. XFL tanked. You had arena football, who's going to arena football?
The World League of American Football.
USFL.
When they took all the guys on suspension for gambling and put them on there. Yeah, like Larry Zonka and those guys. By the way, Bird's in a fantasy league for the AFL.
Are you really?
What? Or the AAF, whatever. Yeah. Now, how did you pick the players? I can't hear you through the wall.
Somebody said if Colin Kaepernick played, it would be... Well, that's...
We're doing it Tuesday.
Yeah.
You're doing it. You needed a week to get used to the players?
I got asked yesterday.
Okay, so you're going to be in a fantasy league?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. You know what? That's so degenerate that it's actually fun. I kind of want to get in on
something
that
Joe Murray would definitely be involved with.
Right.
He would be.
Like gambling on the...
One of the bankroll boys would be involved with this.
Like, that's something that I would have no problem.
No, fantasy football is not degenerate. It's just a waste of time.
On this, though?
Degenerate is gambling on, like those guys do on, like, Mexican soccer. Or, like, stuff that's going on in the middle of the night.
I don't know. If you've got an AAF or whatever it is, a fantasy football league, where it's like $500 a person in, that's somewhat degenerate.
I
don't even know how long the season is. There's only 8 teams.
You can't lose your ass playing fantasy football. Gambling and just consistently trying to get your payroll back up is what where the degenerates come in. Ben, go ahead.
So I was reading on BostonGlobe.com that every player in that league signed a 3-year, $250,000 contract with some buyout option if they got drafted to the NFL or something like that. And it's run by Bill Polian from ESPN and the Colts there.
All right, so
that was all.
$250,000 a year?
No, 3 years, $250,000 over the full 3 years.
Whoa, really?
Total. Yeah.
Whoosh.
Yeah. That was in the Globe because I guess the Globe picked up, you know, because like you, Rich, everybody was watching it and tweeting about it. So they wrote a story about it saying that everybody in the league signed a 3-year, $250,000 contract with that buyout if you get drafted.
Yeah. So how is the XFL supposed to be different from this?
I guess more competitive football because they have Polian in there. I guess he's driving this whole to be more like the NFL, but not as crazy as the XFL, maybe. I have no idea.
There's only like two or three people that could save one of these leagues, and it's if you get a star like Kaepernick, Manziel, or Tim Tebow. And outside of that, I can't think of many stars that can come in and like instantly be everyone has to watch
yeah,
this.
Yeah, the XFL starts in a year from now. So the only thing any of these leagues can hope for is that the NFL steps in and goes, we like the product, let's make a deal, and the NFL buys the AAF and makes it a minor league for them. And that way, the players that you see there could wind up taking a next step. Maybe there are affiliations. Like you see that with the G League in the NBA. There are teams or multiple teams with one G League.
The XFL is also going to let guys come out early. So if you're completely desperate for money, I guess that would be a good option. Here are the headlines.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and we're on Twitch every morning. Visit twitch.tv and search The Sports Hub to watch the show live. This interview we did with Jim Gray that Rich put up at Toucher and Rich, the video of it on Twitter, at Toucher and Rich. This might be the thing that more people have come up to me and said that they saw in my life, in my career here in Boston. And it's one thing that they don't say. The one thing that people don't say, I never listen to your show, but... Like other parents, sure. Like at athletic events.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't listen to your show, but I heard this one part. Okay, great. Thanks. I'm glad the precursor to that was that you don't listen. That was necessary information to share.
So this was weird. So, you know, it was the final day of the Super Bowl media row. And if you didn't hear it, Jim Gray sat down and we opened up the interview. Just wanted to ask him why he was part of the Oprah interview that Tom Brady did. And he got very weird and very defensive. You got to see it.
And by the way, there's a picture. If you're confused, just watch it. We're not going to play it, but watch it because Hurley years ago, they did a story on, I think, SI.com where they show the picture, or maybe Awful Announcing did it where you can see the picture. And it's not just Jim Gray like sitting there. It's Jim Gray. It's Giselle Jim Gray. And then the King woman that's like her best friend. And Jim Gray's got like
he's got his headphones on.
Like, and
he's
no like, one else has got headphones on.
Right. He's like in the producer's chair and he's got headphones on.
Yeah, he's obviously
part of the production.
I mean, I there's a chance he's not, but you have to understand that he's not just sitting there,
right?
Like waiting around. Like he's got headphones on, and he's, you know, he's apparently Giselle and the King woman that's good friends with
Gayle King.
Gayle King. Apparently, they can hear everything fine. But Jim Gray has got, you know, headphones.
So we thought it was a good question to open up about his relationship with Tom Brady.
We're considering like, okay, so interviews him
every week. So we're like, how are you involved with this? And he goes, well, they invited me for dinner. We said, okay, well, that was, now this wasn't dinner that you were there. Did you arrive early? He goes, well, maybe they were late. And I said, okay, so this is where you're having dinner? It was near there. So I was just like, it was so secretive.
He was giving me these stupid, creepy looks.
Yeah, so.
What you have to understand is he was giving me the, you'll see it. If you look
and
at
then
the
Fred was finally said, just like, all right, well, you obviously don't want to be here and you don't want to answer any questions.
And then he
like,
proceeded during the updates to, well, he said, good luck to you. Like he was going to ruin my career. He was very upset at me.
Then Fred just said, Jesus, Jim, just go.
I just go. Just go. I just go. Like, oh, you'll never see me again. Just go.
So we go to commercial. Not go to commercial. We go to John Wallach's headlines, who, like a pro, just plowed right through it. And meanwhile, if you're watching Twitch, you see Jim, like, yelling at Fred and yelling at me. First of all, when stuff like this, like, happens, like, all right, well, you know, blank happens, stupid interview, whatever, you know, go blank yourself. He stood there and, like, yelled at us. While Jerry Rice was, you know, waiting to come and sit down, even Jerry Rice, like on the air, was like, "What is this? This guy's deal?"
Jerry Rice is 10 feet away.
If Jerry Rice, probably one of the nicest, most diplomatic guys, like it's like, what is his problem?
Yeah, he just sits there swearing at me, threatening me.
And he yells and he goes nuts and he starts telling, like, you know, talking to our boss. And if you watch Twitch, you could see him pointing in our
camera.
Boss's chest.
Yeah.
And then he goes around, starts talking to a bunch of other people about it and everything. It's like, all right, get over yourself. So we didn't post the video. And then last Friday, so many people asked me about it. I was like, okay, finally, here's the video. It's funny what happens immediately when you put a video out. It just got picked up by everybody. So, like, you know, Deadspin wrote an article. As you said, Awful Announcing wrote an article, Sports Illustrated, and all of them had the same consensus. Like, what's this guy's deal? Like, why did he pop off? And by the way, this is the weirdest part of it all. So I put the video out. And, you know, on Friday, I was getting a bunch of responses, and most of them are of the same vein of, like, what is this guy's deal? And then all of a sudden, on Saturday morning, for a period of about an hour and a half, out of nowhere, I start getting a ton of tweets from these random people from random places around the country. There was one guy from Seattle, someone from Arizona, another one from North Dakota, all over it. And they were written with things like, how dare you insult Jim Gray? Jim Gray has won this amount of Emmys, and he also won the so-and-so award, and he's a broadcaster who has made so-and-so in his lifetime. Who are you? Like, very specific things. Well, that's interesting. So I clicked on it, and I found out that this was from a person who had, like, 14 followers who hadn't tweeted in about 8 months. And the only stuff that they had tweeted, they'd retweeted, like, city council meetings and stuff. And then I was like, okay, well, that's weird. And then someone else who said almost the exact same thing that person did, and I clicked on it once again. It was another person in a random city who hadn't tweeted in like 9 months. And the stuff that was retweeted, once again, like 9 followers, and the stuff that they had put out there were like retweeting someone winning some award that was like in the government or something weird. And I just started noticing that there was a pattern with these people who were negative towards us, all of a sudden all tweeting around the same time. And it got me thinking, can you purchase anonymous Twitter responses? Like, I wouldn't put it past Jim Gray that he would go online and say, I need to have some sort of pushback on this. And he somehow purchased these random strangers from all around the country to tweet at us. So I Googled it. And sure enough, there is a service where you can buy Twitter commenters and you can write the tweets and have them be from random people around the country. No, I'm not saying that he did that. But I am saying, in my mind, he's the type of person that would do that.
Well,
because they
it.
All came right around the same period.
Yeah,
and then after that happened, and then after that hour and a half, boom, gone. And all of a sudden, it was the same what we've gotten before. It's like, hey, what's this guy's problem? Has anyone heard of that before? Buying Twitter comments?
Well, or people I've never like heard that? Of that.
Well, I know you can buy followers. And then I'm sure a publicist could do it.
Right. And by the way, one of the things that the person put was like, you asked a personal question. Why does he have to talk about his personal life? I'm like, dude, he was on a special with the most popular woman on television, Oprah Winfrey. If that's not the opposite of private, then I don't know what is.
No, he was on a national television show.
With Oprah and Tom Brady.
Give me that stupid look.
But
Has anyone ever heard of anyone doing that before?
By the way, Jim Gray, very popular with his contemporaries. The other people in sports media just love him.
Somebody said 100% that it's a thing called a bot army, which can be purchased.
Okay.
Now, I'd never heard of that. It was so random and so weird. And all the people who were tweeting me all kind of had the same characteristics. They weren't very active on Twitter until they had no opinions on anything. They were just retweeting like stories from newspapers. And all of a sudden it was like, why do you hate Jim Gray? Like out of nowhere. And none of these people were like from around here or anywhere else. It was all these weird random corners of United States. And I don't know if that's something that people do or whatever, but it just seemed odd.
Well, there you go. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, he's got an army of people out there that really care about him.
Apparently so.
Oh, and by the way, he did a Pacquiao fight where he talked to the guy afterwards and basically treated him the same way that I treated him. Treated the boxer the same way that I treated him.
Mm-hmm.
So, enough of him. No, I know what he does. He does boxing post-fight interviews, and he does the Westwood One Brady interview.
Okay.
I believe that's what his positions
are. A lot of downtime between gigs.
Yes.
Okay.
Famous people, and then there's Jim Gray.
Well, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom. Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends. So why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That was strange. That was strange.
Gail King? I mean, she was there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We will be back. Tom Verducci is going to join us at 9 o'clock.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Again, the weekend. You give up your weekend. You just give them up.
But you're free and clear today, bud.
Today, right? Today is a day of rest and recovery.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was gone from 10 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock yesterday. All children's activities. Including running a clinic for 5 and 6 year old T-ball players.
And that's just out of the goodness of your heart because your kids are not 5 and 6.
Trying to get.
He's giving back.
You got to get. The kids aren't playing. They're not signing up for the Little League anymore. You got to get them. Got to recruit them young, get them in the system.
So you're the ambassador. You're the baseball ambassador for Newton.
I am on the board, and I do three things. I get the BC bubble for them, and then I run two clinics for 5 and 6 year olds.
Did that happen?
Other people.
Did that happen already at the BC bubble? Did you get everyone in there? Is that taking place?
The BC bubble is a week from Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, a week from Sunday.
Oh, speaking of this weekend, we never found out an update about the crushed ice competition, according to Bird. From Fenway.
Oh, that's right.
Bird worked security at the Crushed Ice competition.
As he calls it, Crushed Ice. Hey, Bird, hop on the mic real quick if you don't mind. Bird, so how did everything go this weekend at Fenway?
I wasn't there Friday night, but Saturday was a good turnout.
Okay, like was it full?
10,000.
That's impressive.
All right, okay. Did people, explain how they did things.
So, four runners, basically. Skaters. Four skaters start, and then skate down the, I didn't say run, did I?
Yes, you did.
Oh, all right. So they skate down this ramp, take a turn, you know, obstacles, and whoever finishes first moves on to the next round. And then between the serious ice competitions, they have, like, goofballs come down. Like, they had four people dress up in, like, a T-Rex costume, pink flamingo. We had one guy come down on a bike, like a legit BMX bike. So he put tires and spikes on his bike and went down the thing. Fell on his face. A couple of people go down in like hockey goalie skates and everything. Just hockey equipment.
So the thing is that the four people go down and they go through obstacles?
Yeah, and the winner advances, wins points, and then the other competitor, there's like maybe 20 people competing, men's, women's, and they just kept going down. Whoever won went up again. They had like four rounds of it, I believe.
Who was the dude who went onto the bike?
I have no idea his name.
And he just bit it, you said?
Yeah.
Not bad, but he skidded right into the corner of the thing and just wiped out.
Sounds like a bad gig.
Yeah.
Like, basically. his whole thing is just to go up there and just smash his face?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, well, that sounds like...
It's a stunt show.
Basically.
Okay.
It is. Well, now I know all about it. You get four runners, you get up on top of the ramp, you skate down, you go through obstacles, then you get a point, and then you go back up.
Yep.
Okay.
So fireworks when you win, and you win a medal.
Woo!
That's about it.
All right. Sounds great.
Yep. That's
sounds like fun.
I would like to give him a book and have him do a book report.
What book should we give him?
Oh, the places you will go.
Yeah, the places you will go.
I'm reading The Art of War right now.
Huh?
The Art of War.
You're reading The Art of War? What?
Well, it's really short.
I know.
All right. All right, so what have you learned from, what is it, Sun Tzu, The Art of War?
Yeah. I only read like the first page, then I got distracted and watched TV. Oh,
okay. All right, now why are you reading The Art of War?
I just feel like, I don't know, everyone keeps telling me you should read it, give it a read. It's short and you'll learn a lot from it.
Okay, and you read the first page and you said that's it.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the first page right now. I got to do it again.
You know, it's not a linear story. It's just...
No, I know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's just a couple of paragraphs.
Okay, so
it's
you
strategies.
Literally couldn't make it past one page of a book before you gave up and turned on the TV.
Someone look up the first page of Art of War, because it's not like it's a page. They're like little sayings. Like little strategies. It's not a book. It's like, you know, something enemies, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Laying plans.
Yeah.
I have it. So you don't remember anything about the first page? I'm reading a book. Remember when Adolfo told us he had read like 20 books, but he hadn't finished any of them?
Yeah, they were all open. You read like five pages at a time. You'd rotate the books.
Now, I can understand not understanding The Art of War, but I don't understand not being able to read more than a page, considering that it's incredibly, incredibly short. Tom Verducci is going to join us. No commercials here, just the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.